Hi, I'm Tony Rossi for the Christophers. What do a 9-year-old girl, a 40-pound cabbage, and 100 vegetable gardens have to do with ending hunger in America? Well, you'll find out today as I talk with Christopher Award-winning author Katie Stagliano about her youth-driven mission to grow healthy food and use it to feed the hungry. Stay with us. Christopher Close-Up starts right now. Hello and welcome to Christopher Close-Up. I'm Tony Rossi, and my guest today is Katie Stagliano. As a third grader, Katie planted a cabbage seedling in her yard for a class project, and that seedling soon grew into a 40-pound cabbage. After her parents told her that many families go to bed hungry every night, Katie donated her cabbage to a local ministry where it fed 275 people. That experience inspired Katie to grow even more food to feed the hungry and to invite others to do the same. Her project, called Katie's Crops, is now a national youth movement that aims to end hunger one vegetable garden at a time. Katie, who is now 17, also wrote a book for young people about her experience. It's called Katie's Cabbage, and we were happy to honor it with a Christopher Award. To tell us more about her work and her mission, I'm pleased to welcome to Christopher Close-Up, Katie Stagliano. Katie, thanks so much for being on the show today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, now, in my intro, I gave some brief background on your story, but I want to flesh it out a little bit. So take me back to the beginning when you were 9 years old. How did this school project start you down this unexpected and life-changing road of Katie's Crops?
Well, when I was in the third grade, my teacher gave me a cabbage seedling, and I brought it home and planted it in my backyard. And it just grew and kept growing and growing until it hit 40 pounds. And my dad, I know, it was crazy. My dad had always told me not to waste and that I should be lucky that I sat down to a nice meal every night, because there are some people who went to bed hungry and relied on soup kitchens for what could be their only meal of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I decided I had this huge cabbage in my backyard, and there are people who were relying on soup kitchens for what might be their only meal of the day. And that's when I decided to donate my cabbage to a soup kitchen.
Wow. Wow. That's great. Now, I don't know produce that well. Now, I'm assuming 40 pounds is big for a cabbage, though, right?
40 pounds is ginormous for a cabbage. My 4-year-old brother was about the size of my cabbage when we harvested it, which was absolutely crazy.
Well, how did you even get this idea to donate it to a soup kitchen? Like, how were your parents involved in guiding you down this road?
It was really the fact that my dad would always tell us how lucky we were when we would sit down to dinner, and the fact that he explained to us what a soup kitchen was and how there are families just like ours who had fallen down in hard times mm-hmm. and relied on soup kitchens for their meals. And yeah. That's really what inspired me to donate my cabbage there. And then once I got to the soup kitchen, I saw so many faces and families in line who could be my family who had fallen down in hard times. So yeah. I just knew that I wanted to do more to help them.
Sure. Well, tell me about that first experience at the soup kitchen. I mean, did you have any expectations going in terms of, like, the people you'd see, and were those met, or were they kind of different than what you expected?
I did not know what a soup kitchen was at 9 years old until my dad had talked to me about it, so I really wasn't sure what to expect.
Mm-hmm.
But when I got there, I was so surprised at how many people were there in line, and they were waiting for what might be their only meal of the day. And how the faces looked like families just like mine. So I think it was really surprising to me how you never know who the faces of hunger may be. It may be your friends or your neighbors or someone you see at school every day who had just fallen down on hard times.
Right, right. I'm talking to Katie Stagliano. She is the Christopher Award-winning author of the children's book Katie's Cabbage. She's the founder of Katie's Crop. So tell me about what happened after this initial experience, and what led to Katie's Crops being born?
So after I donated my cabbage to the soup kitchen, the director, Ms. Sue, asked me to come back and serve my cabbage, and I ended up helping to feed 275 people.
Wow.
And after seeing all the faces in line and getting to serve my cabbage to each and every one of them, I thought, if one cabbage can help to feed 275 people, imagine how many people an entire garden could help to feed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what inspired me to start Katie's Crop. So I started with a garden in my backyard, and then I approached my school and I asked them if I could have a plot of land to do a garden there, and the produce would be donated to help feed those in need. And I was only in the fourth grade at the time, but my school actually gave me a plot of land about the size of a football field,
wow.
which was absolutely incredible.
The size of a football field? Wow.
It was crazy. That's actually our biggest Katie's Crops garden that we have here in South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
It is our flagship garden, and every year now we grow about 3,000 pounds of produce from there that's donated to those in need.
Wow, so that is incredible. Did you encounter any naysayers at the time, or were people generally supportive, like the folks in your school?
I was blessed with the support of people from my community, and my classmates have been amazing. They've been helping me since I was in the fourth grade, mm-hmm. and my teachers, they come out and use the garden as well. And just everyone kind of rallied behind me, and the support was amazing. And I truly don't think that I would be where I am today without the support of my community and my family and friends.
Well, what feedback have you gotten from your fellow students, from your teachers, about why they participate in Katie's Crops? Have they ever told you what they get out of it?
I think one of the main things that everyone loves about helping out, especially in the gardens and at the dinners, is kind of seeing the vegetables go full circle. From when they plant the vegetables in the garden to then helping to harvest them. And a lot of my friends come to the Katie's Crops dinners and actually get to serve the meals that they make from these vegetables, those in need in our community. And so it's really great to get to meet everyone that you're helping to feed and grow relationships with them and get to see them every month. So I think the dinners and really being able to serve the vegetables that you help them grow to those in need is probably what my friends would say is their favorite part.
Right. I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close Up. I'm talking to Katie Stagliano. She is the founder of Katie's Crops. The website is katiescrops.com, and crops is spelled K-R-O-P-S. That's katiescrops.com. Tell me a little bit more about these Katie's Crops dinners. What got you started in them? Was it just the inspiration to want to give a more personal investment into feeding these people, not just to grow the food, but to actually bring it to them personally?
So what got me started with the Katie's Crops dinners was we had been donating fresh produce to a local homeless shelter and soup kitchen in our area for several years. And one day we went with a basket of vegetables to donate, and there was a sign on the door that said that they had to close their doors due to lack of funding.
Hmm.
And so I was absolutely shocked because I didn't know where these people were going to go to get their meals now, because this had been the only soup kitchen in the Somerville area. And that's when I had the idea. I had all of these beautiful vegetables in my garden, and my friends and I could come together and we could cook meals for those in need in the community. So that's kind of the idea of how I began the Katie's Crops dinners. And we are coming up on the 6-year anniversary dinner in October. So it's been amazing.
Right, right. Well, in another interview you did, I saw you said that your gardens haven't just created fresh produce, they've grown beautiful friendships. How have you seen friendships and relationships blossom through this work, either for you personally or for your friends and family?
I've really met some amazing people through the people that I've met at the dinners. I've known families for years and years. I've known the Mackey family for, I want to say, 7 years now, and they've become really good friends with my family. And while they do benefit from the produce and they come to the dinners, Isaiah and Lily, they help in the gardens and they help at the dinners as well. And so they've been absolutely incredible. And it's great to meet people like that and kind of have a second family within the Katie's Crops dinners and the people I help. And also just close friendships. My master gardener, Miss Lisa, I've been working with her for over 7 years now. And she and her family have become like a second family to me. So it's just really neat to see all the people that I've grown so close to because of Katie's Crops.
Yeah, no, that is great. And what is the age range of kids involved in Katie's Crops?
There's actually a very wide age range of kids involved. We have younger kids, ages 4 and 5, ranging up to adults and seniors coming out to help in the garden. So there's something for everyone to do at the gardens or at the dinners. Just a fun way for everyone to come out and help.
Sure. Do you, for the younger kids, do they, when they get involved in the growing of the produce and Katie's Crops and everything, do they seem like just really enlightened to the fact that even though they're young, they can still make a positive difference in the world?
The younger kids love to come out and work in the garden because they feel like they are making a huge difference, and they love to be able to plant the seeds and come out and check on them and then see the produce and see who it's going to help and knowing that they're helping to make a difference in the world. And I've also seen that a lot of kids love to eat produce that they grow. They're more apt to eat vegetables and fruits if they've grown them themselves.
Okay.
And so it kind of gets kids involved with eating more fruits and vegetables, which is always a good thing.
Yeah, because we do have a bit of an obesity epidemic in this country, and I know this is one of the things you're kind of fighting against with Katie's Crops to get people to eat healthier meals.
Yes, definitely. We want to try and promote people to eat fruits and vegetables. And I know fruits and vegetables can be really expensive to buy at the store, especially if you're relying on food stamps and things like that. So that's why we're trying to provide as many fruits and vegetables to those in need across the United States so
right.
that they can eat a healthy, well-balanced diet.
Sure. I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close Up. I'm talking to Katie Stagliano. She is the founder of Katie's Crops. That's Katie's, KROPS.com, Katie'sCrops.com. And she also wrote the children's book, Katie's Cabbage, which we recognized with a Christopher Award this year. Tell me about the inspiration behind the children's book. How did that come about in order to share your story with an even wider audience?
So Katie's Cabbage came about because I was always talking to people about what I was doing, and a lot of people had said, you should write a book about that. And then when I was in the sixth grade, I decided, you know what, that would actually be a really fun thing to do. And so I started writing about kind of my experience with my cabbage and everything that had happened and how it really changed my life. And it ended up getting published with University of South Carolina Press, which was absolutely incredible because now I was able to share my story with so many more people and hopefully inspire other kids to follow their dreams and make a difference in the world.
Absolutely. So everybody really should. If you've got kids, pick up Katie's Cabbage because it's a great story. Now, you start Katie's Crops when you're so young. You start the dinners, you write the book, and now you're 17 years old, you're a high school student. How do you juggle being the high school student, being involved in extracurriculars like sports? I know you kind of speak around the country, and on top of all that, you're running Katie's Crops. How do you juggle all this? You're like a master at it, you seem.
It really is a balancing act, and I'm honestly not sure how I fit everything into my schedule, but somehow it all works out, and my school is really incredible, and they understand that I do miss a lot of school for Katie's Crops, but they're really awesome about understanding with that and letting me have the garden there. So I'm not sure how it all works out, but somehow it does.
Well, it seems like you should get some actual school credit for what you're doing because, you know, it is an educational project in a way, right?
It is. It encompasses, we have so many teachers come up to the garden and they can use the garden for science, for math, for writing prompts and all sorts of fun things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a lot of students come up to the garden with their teachers and the teachers use the garden as an outdoor interactive classroom, which is also really great for them to be able to have that.
I'm Tony Rossi and you're listening to Christopher Close Up. I'll be back in a minute with more of my conversation with Katie Stagliano. But first, here's a message the Christophers would like to share with you.
When Father James Keller founded the Christophers, he chose the organization's name because it means Christ bearers in Greek. He wanted to encourage everyone to discover their God-given talents, combine their faith with action, and change the world for the better. For ideas on how you can be a Christ bearer in your own life, the Christophers have prepared a news note called Being a Christopher. It's filled with quotes and insights from Father Keller himself, who once explained, "The presence of even one Christopher in any environment is a blessing, a channel of grace, and a step in the right direction. It's like a tiny pinpoint of light that is greater than the encircling darkness." To request your free copy of Being a Christopher, send an email to radio@christophers.org or call our toll-free number at 1-888-298-4050. That's 1-888-298-4050. We look forward to hearing from you.
Welcome back to Christopher Close Up. I'm Tony Rossi, and I'm talking today with Katie Stagliano. At age 9, Katie grew a 40-pound cabbage for a class project, donated it to a local ministry for the hungry and homeless, and found herself inspired to start a project called Katie's Crops, which aims to end hunger in America one vegetable garden at a time. Katie and I are discussing her work, along with her Christopher Award-winning children's book, Katie's Cabbage. And before we get back to my conversation with Katie, I just want to read a couple of reviews of the book that were cited on Amazon. One is from Rebecca Bull Reed, who's a garden editor of Southern Living. She said, "More than a kid's book, Katie's Cabbage is a call to action to make a difference by starting in your own backyard. Katie Stagliano is an inspirational hero with a heart as big as a 40-pound cabbage." And Amanda McNulty, who's the host of the Emmy Award-winning Make It Grow, wrote, "With the clarity that accompanies the innocence of youth, Katie Stagliano let her imagination grow as grandly as did her cabbage, and she started a movement that feeds the hungry, as well as the souls of the volunteers who reach out to their neighbors in need." Those are just a couple of the positive reviews of Katie's Cabbage, Katie Stagliano's book, that we honored with the Christopher Award. So here now is more of my conversation with Katie. Just going back to the founding of Katie's Crops. Now, you went from doing one nice thing for people in need to turning it into an ongoing mission. Now, some people might have just stopped at the one nice thing. What is it in you that made you take the initiative to keep doing more? Did you see examples of this kind of selfless giving in your own life, in your family or something?
I think the thing that really inspires me is the people that I get to meet and the people that I help, because they're really the most amazing people. And when they share their stories with me, it's just so incredible to know that I'm able to help provide them with fresh produce and a healthy meal. So I think the people that I help, that I get to see at the dinners and donate fresh produce to, they're really the reason that I keep on doing this.
Yeah.
Because it's great to see them and know that I'm helping to provide them with food.
Sure. Well, how has Katie's Crops become a family affair for you as well? Because I know your family is pretty deeply involved.
My family is absolutely incredible. All of my family is involved with Katie's Crops. My mom is actually the president. My dad helps out with finances, and he comes to the dinners and helps in the garden. And my brother's great as well. He's always helping in the garden and at the dinners. So it's kind of something that we've all gotten involved with now, and it's been a part of our lives for so long that it's kind of normal to us how crazy things can be, although some people might think it's a little much, but they've been absolutely incredible.
Well, that's great. I think I read on your website that when you were growing the cabbage, your grandpa helped you build some kind of protection for it so the deer wouldn't get at it. Is that accurate?
Yes, that is. I actually have a neighbor who's like a surrogate grandfather to me, and one of our neighbors told us that deer had been seen in the neighborhood, and I live on a golf course, and we didn't have a fence up in our yard or anything, and I needed to do something to protect my cabbage, so I called him and asked him if he had any ideas, and he said, "This might sound a little bit crazy, but we should build a cage." And so he had brought down all the tools. He brought down 4 posts and chicken wire, and we put the posts in the ground, wrapped the chicken wire around it, and all the golfers kind of looked at it as they passed by, and they were like, "What is that?" But despite the funny looks, it did the trick and protected my cabbage.
Ah, very good. Now, do you find in general in your work that, you know, there's a lot to learn. We have a lot to learn from seniors, because sometimes, you know, when people get to a certain age, they can get marginalized by society. But really, they have a lot of wisdom and everything to contribute. What has your experience been with seniors in general? Do they help you out in some way?
They've really been incredible with helping me and supporting me and offering their advice from their experiences and things that they found that work and don't work. So I really think they're just great when they're helping with Katie's Crops and helping to provide advice on when I'm looking for something to do and looking for solutions to problems.
Sure. I'm talking to Katie Stagliano. She is the founder of Katie's Crops. That's spelled KatiesKrops, katiescrops.com. She's also the author of the children's book, Katie's Cabbage, which we recognized with a Christopher Award this year. And she is the youngest recipient of the University of California's 30 Under 30 Leaders in the Food Industry. When you're getting these accolades at such a young age, do you feel the pressure or something to live up to these things, or do they inspire you, motivate you to just keep doing more and keep on the road that you're on?
It's absolutely incredible to receive things like this at such a young age. I never in a million years thought that anything like this would happen to me, but it really inspires me to continue my work and hopefully inspire other kids and show them the difference that they can make in the world, because I know that if others hadn't believed in me, then I definitely wouldn't be where I am today. So it's really just an honor to be selected and inspiring, and it makes me want to continue my work as long as possible.
Has Katie's Crops, has this kind of influenced your career goals as you plan for college and even beyond that for the job market? Is this something you want to do for the rest of your life, maybe?
I think it definitely is. I think no matter what I major in college and go into my career, I definitely want to tie that back into Katie's Crops and find ways to help expand Katie's Crops across the country and globally.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know Katie's Crops is not a religious enterprise. It's open to people of all faith or no faith. But Have you seen a religious or spiritual dimension in the work of feeding the hungry, either personally or through various soup kitchens, which are often sponsored by churches?
I have definitely seen that a lot of people, especially within soup kitchens and food pantries and things like that, which are connected with religious organizations, we've seen a lot of people thanking me and just they're saying, we'll offer you prayers for you and your family to continue what you're doing. And they've just been really amazing. So I've definitely seen things like that connected, especially going to soup kitchens and going to faith-based food pantries and things like that.
Right, right. Now, let's say somebody listening wants to start a Katie's Crops garden. I know they can go to katiescrops.com for more information, but just give us a few details now about what's involved and what the benefits are.
So if anyone's interested in starting a Katie's Crops garden, we open up cycles to where kids can apply to become a Katie's Crops grower. And you have to be between the ages of 9 and 16. And on the website, there's an application that you'll fill out to tell us where you're going to plant your garden, who's going to be helping you, where your produce is going to be donated, and things like that. So you can apply to become a Katie's Crop grower.
Mm-hmm.
And depending on the funding, that depends on how many grants we're able to give out. I wish we could give grants to everyone that applied. But unfortunately, we don't have the funds for that yet.
Right, right. Well, how many gardens do you have around the country now?
We actually just hit 100 gardens in 32 states this spring. So
wow, that's
that was
amazing.
A major milestone for us.
That is amazing. I mean, everything the Christophers do revolves around this idea that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness. When you hit times of darkness in your life or in this work that you're doing, how do you light that proverbial candle to move toward a brighter future?
I think that what I've learned from doing this for so long is to really try and not focus on the obstacles and the things that are standing in your way,
mm-hmm.
but instead to focus on your goal and the things that are going right and just work towards working past all the obstacles that we face. Because there have been a lot of things that have been thrown in our way along the way, but we try not to focus on them and just focus on the task at hand and just our major goal, which is to help end hunger and to provide vegetables to as many people as possible. So I think once we start focusing on that and not looking at the obstacles, it becomes easier for us to overcome them.
Mm-hmm. Have you, do you see a different approach in the country right now in terms of how to end hunger? I mean, are we doing what should be done? Could we be doing better? What do you think?
I think there are honestly so many different ways to approach the issue of ending hunger. I think the one thing that we do need to do is, if all of us work together, we can truly make a huge dent, because hunger is an issue that affects millions and millions of people around the world. But no matter how large or how small your actions are, if everyone can come together, then we can really make a huge difference in the world and in the issue of hunger.
Yeah, and I think one other thing to point out is I think when a lot of people hear the word hunger, we think of starving children in Africa, for instance. But I think it's a little bit different here, because I even know in my local church has a food pantry, and you know, the people come in cars to pick up food from the food pantry, and some people wonder, well, they can't be that poor if they have a car. But it's really not just about that. It's I think you even use the word food insecurity in some of your literature. Is that something that you think people need to be more aware of as well?
I definitely, when I first started this, I wasn't aware of the faces of hunger and how it can be your neighbor or your classmate or your friends, and they might just be struggling to put food on the table. We've known people who are struggling with diseases and they have to pick between paying their medical bills or putting food on the table. So I think people might just not know who the faces of hunger are and how they're not always who you might expect them to be.
Yeah, sure. All right, in my final minutes, what are your hopes for the future of Katie's Crops?
For the future of Katie's Crops, well, our main goal for right now is to expand to 500 gardens in all 50 states. And once we hit that, I definitely love to go globally and just try and make as big of a difference as we can, because I think really our overall goal is to help make a difference in ending hunger, which I know is something that's very big, but I know working together we can make a huge impact.
Sure. I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close Up, and I have been talking with Katie Stagliano about her project called Katie's Crops. Again, the website is katiescrops.com. That's K-A-T-I-E-S K-R-O-P-S, katiescrops.com. She's also the author of the children's book, Katie's Cabbage, which tells her story for children especially. We gave it a Christopher Award this year. She's done a lot of stuff, and she really, I think Katie fits into the mission of the Christophers, because our founder, Father James Keller, encouraged people to take the initiative to make the world a better place. Instead of just complaining about what's wrong with the world, take steps to make it better, and that's exactly what Katie has been doing through her work with Katie's Crops, getting to know the hungry in America, that they could be our neighbors, our friends, people struggling with food and with bills. So give a visit to katiescrops.com, to that website, and check out Katie's Cabbage, the book. And Katie, thanks so much for what you're doing and your work, and I hope it goes on for years to come, and you do end hunger in America.
Thank you so much. It was great to talk to you today.
You too, Katie. Thank you. Now, before we end today's show, here's another message the Christophers would like to share with you.
When it comes to fear, we're all experts. Although some people may manage it better than others, no one is immune to the difficult and potentially debilitating emotions fear can stir up when we're confronted with worries, both real and imagined. That's why the Christophers have prepared a news note called Choosing Faith Over Fear. It profiles people whose trust in God has helped them live the words of Scripture, "Do not be afraid." The news note also shares concrete ideas you can follow to develop that kind of faith in your life. To request your free copy of Choosing Faith Over Fear, send an email to radio@christophers.org or call our toll-free number at 1-888-298-4050. That's 1-888-298-4050. We look forward to hearing from you.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts for making every day count. Here's Father Jonathan Morris.
A stranger stopped me on the street one day and said, "Father, I don't believe in God, but I'm still trying to be a good person." We chatted for a while, then I told him my usual parting words. "Hey, would you say a prayer for me, and I'll say a prayer for you." Right away, I laughed at my own mistake and added, "Well, I'll say a prayer for you." The man smiled and responded, "I don't believe in prayer, as you know, but I do like the Serenity Prayer." I found it amazing that someone who doesn't believe in God still finds comfort in the Serenity Prayer. So let's close by sharing it with you now. "Lord, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference."
This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness. In closing, I want to thank all our listeners for tuning in today, and I encourage you to visit our website at christophers.org to learn more about the Christophers and to download free literature and podcasts. When you're there, you can also find links to our blog and our Facebook and Twitter pages. And if you have any questions or comments about the show, you can send an email to radio@christophers.org. Our engineer for today's show is Brian Bonifacio, and I'm Tony Rossi, your host. Thanks again for joining us, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.